Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Just like to share a few thoughts on the principle of giving to missions from this wonderful story here in 1 Kings chapter 17, involving a man of God by the name of Elijah. And let's read 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 and 9. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 and 9. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we are grateful for the opportunity to worship, and we ask now that you would fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit. Please guide us, please lead us, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you will minister to each heart during this service. Meet each one at that point of need, we pray. In the name of our lovely Saviour, the Lord Jesus, we ask, Amen. This story is one of many in the Bible where God provides for the needs of his people. This story here in 1 Kings 17 is all about God. God, Elijah, the man of God, and a widow that lived in a small town called Zarephath. The word Zarephath means to be poured forth. The city was on the west coast, and in fact it was outside of the land of promise. It was outside of the land of Canaan. It was in the far north. Today it would be part of modern day Lebanon. And the Bible teaches us within this passage of scripture that God tells the man of God, Elijah, to go to Zarephath, which would have been a distance for him, where God has prepared a woman, a widow, to sustain him. Now the background to this particular command for Elijah is found in verses 1 to 7. Elijah has made the announcement that there will not be rain for a period of 3 years. Yet God promised to provide the needs of Elijah. God said to Elijah that I will provide water from a water stream, a brook, there in verse number 4. And then in verse number 6, God said to Elijah that I will commission the ravens to bring bread and flesh, meat each morning and each evening. And in time, the Bible teaches us in verse number 7, note, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So in time, the Bible teaches us that this water source that was no doubt connected to the Jordan dried up. So God redirects Elijah to where his needs will be met from here on. Now it's important for us to understand as Bible-believing Christians that God promises to provide our needs. But God often uses a variety of ways, a variety of means by which he provides for you and I. We are created in the image of God, and God is creative. Therefore, man can be creative. And God is also very creative in how he provides for the needs of his people. Up until now, God has provided for Elijah by a brook. From here on, God said to Elijah, I'm going to send you far north. In fact, I'm going to send you outside of our beloved country. And I have a woman, a widow, that will take care of you. So as we consider the subject of supporting missionaries, I'd like for us to note some lessons here that I believe will be helpful for us to be mindful of, or at least review in our minds concerning God providing for the missionary and God providing for you and I that are commissioned to care for missionaries. The first lesson I'd like for us to note, based upon verses 8 and 9, which we've already read, is that God told Elijah that he would take care of him. God told Elijah that he would take care of him. Note there at the end of verse 9 it reads, "Sustain thee, a widow woman there to sustain thee." See, Elijah was a prophet who devoted his life to proclaiming the word of God. He was bold, he was fearless as he served his God. But yet he was a man of like passions, just like you and I. He had physical needs. He was still human. And God said that he would provide for the man of God. He had to live. He had to survive. He had a mandate from God to serve. And God said that he would provide for this man of God. And in the same way, the missionary has needs of which God has promised to provide as he serves his God. Every missionary is human. Every missionary has flesh and blood just like you and I. They need to eat. They need to be clothed. They need to be sheltered. And in the same way that the missionary needs to look to God to provide his needs, you and I as God's people need to look to God to provide our needs. See, God said that he would provide for Elijah. And the Bible gives us a very, very important principle when it comes to caring for our missionaries. If we take care of our missionaries, God will take care of us. And let me confirm that principle from this passage of Scripture this morning, but I want you to turn with me for a moment and note the principle spelled out within the New Testament. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we will see the principle of you and I being provided for as we provide for the needs of the missionary. Note here in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes to this church at Philippi, a church in which he had the privilege of starting. And this church was no doubt fond of the great Apostle Paul and chose to invest in his ministry as a missionary. Now, for the sake of time, note there verses 15 to 19, we have the principle. But let's just read verse 16. The Bible reads, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." So he writes to the church at Philippi and he commends them for the fact that they have provided for his needs. And even as he ministered in the city of Thessalonica, God's people provided for the Apostle Paul. And he said, "You have once and again, you've done it again, church at Philippi, you've provided for my needs." And therefore, note the commendation, I should say, in verse number 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So note then verse 16 specifically, and you'll see it in verse 15, you'll see it in verse 18, and also in verse 17, that the Apostle Paul commends the church at Philippi for providing his needs. "And based upon the fact that you provided my needs," said the Apostle Paul, "my God shall supply all of your needs." You provided my needs, God's going to provide for your needs. And that is the biblical principle. There's no point in claiming Philippians 4:19 unless you and I support missionaries. Because the context of my God shall supply all of my needs is based upon the fact that I am involved in providing the needs of the missionaries. That is the context. And we see this fleshed out. We see this illustrated here in 1 Kings chapter 17. Where God said to Elijah, I will provide for you. I have provided for you by the brook. I've used the water from the brook. I've used the ravens from the air. Now I'm going to send you on a little journey way up north, outside of your comfort zone. And I'm going to commission a widow to take care of you. It's interesting that Elijah doesn't question. He could have questioned. He could have said, God, are you crazy? What are you doing? You're sending me out of my country and you're telling me you're going to have a widow provide for me from here on? But we don't read that Elijah questions. See, God told Elijah, I will sustain thee. And that was enough for Elijah. And ought it not be enough for you and I that God has told us that he will provide our needs? Isn't it enough that God has told us that we will not want, the Lord is my shepherd, and if the Lord is your shepherd, and if the Lord is my shepherd, God will provide our every need. Ought that to be enough? That God has said it, and that should settle it? Well, for Elijah, no doubt it was. So off he went, marched up to this little city called Zarephath, where God had said, I will sustain thee. Now note here, secondly, in verse number 9, that God not only promised Elijah, I will sustain thee, but God chose a widow to sustain him. God chose a widow to feed Elijah. God chose a woman of little substance to provide for the man of God. God said, I have prepared a widow. In fact, the Bible teaches us in verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman. I haven't given her an option. I've commanded a widow to sustain thee. So God said that I've commanded a widow to look after you. Now this was God's idea. This was God's method in looking after Elijah. God chose the poorest of the poor to provide for the man of God. Widows in biblical times were always, if somebody was widowed, then that normally meant that they were in deep poverty. They literally had nobody. There was no social or welfare support system within the biblical setting, much less insurances or pensioners for widows. And when a woman found herself without anybody, generally and almost always, that equated to poverty and ultimately death in time. Yet it is through such an unlikely source that God has promised to take care of the man of God. And just like God had his method in looking after this man of God, God has his way of how he wants his missionaries to be cared for. See, the issue here is not affordability. The issue here is the will of God. For God commanded this widow to provide for the man of God. The Bible teaches us that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. Our missionaries have the same needs as all of us. They need food, they need clothing, they need shelter, they need resources. And as God told this woman, as God commanded this woman to look after Elijah, God has given the Church of Jesus Christ the responsibility to help and support the missionary as he goes about preaching the gospel. For the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 9:14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So God commissioned, God commanded this woman to take care of the man of God. So Elijah makes his way to Zarephath. And Elijah finds this woman. The Bible teaches us in verse number 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Remember, Elijah has traveled a fair distance. So it's not surprising that he's a little bit thirsty. So he requests some water. And at the same time, he requests something to eat. And then note there in verse 12, please. And she said, she responded to Elijah, as the Lord thy God liveth. So no doubt this widowed woman was a God-fearing woman. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I don't have any bread. But I have a handful of meal in a barrel. I have a little bit of flour and a little oil in a cruse. And in fact, I am gathering, note here in verse 12, two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So this widowed woman told Elijah upon his request for food and drink, she said to Elijah that she had just enough to make one last meal and no more. In fact, she said, I'm just gathering some sticks together. And she said, following this last meal, I've just got enough flour. I've got just enough oil to make my last meal for myself and my son, and then no doubt we will probably die of starvation. Now note that it makes reference to a son. Now obviously he was a dependent. Was dependent upon her. She was not only a widow, she not only had to take care of herself, but she had a young dependent. Now surely God knew the widow's circumstances. And may I submit to you that God knows our circumstances. Was God insensitive? Was God cruel? Was God in denial of what was the setting here? Don't you think God knew that this woman had next to nothing? Don't you think that God knew that this woman had a dependent? And don't you think God knew that this woman was preparing her last meal and she was convinced that this is it? We're going to die. This will be our last meal. Was God insensitive, cruel, in denial of a situation? My answer to that is no. Of course not. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55, please. Isaiah 55. Note verses 8 and 9. These are good verses to store away for rainy days, so to speak. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God doesn't think like we think. That ever occurred to you? We think that everybody sees our point of view, do we not? That's why we can be so opinionated. And we often make opinions thinking that we are the authority. Well, I have found that it's too hot in this room and we need to turn down the air conditioning. As if you are the authority. As if everybody's comfort based upon what you think and feel. Are we not so vain? Say amen. We're all made of the same stuff. So next time you give your opinion, think twice. What are you saying? And God tells us that God does not think like we think. We need to think like God. Amen. We need to think like God. That's why we need our minds to be renewed with the precious Word of God. And the Bible reminds us here that your thoughts, your ways, are not my ways. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. And you and I need to step up to God's ways. And step up to God's thoughts. God said to Elijah, I'm going to provide your needs. God said to Elijah, I'm going to use a widow woman to do so. God said it. That settles it. See? At this stage, this poor woman couldn't see the bigger picture. How God was going to provide. See, God's calling is His enabling. With every call to obedience, God promises to provide. God is purposeful in what He commands us to do. I think of the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, how the disciples shook their heads and said, God, how can we possibly take care of all these people? And the Lord Jesus had just have them seated. We'll take care of them. See, for this poor woman, her issue was not affordability. Her issue was the will of God. The man of God had spoken to this woman. The man of God had said to this woman, God has told you to look after me. Isn't that what God said? God said it. So Elijah wasn't being arrogant. He wasn't being senseless, cruel. He was just doing what God told him to do. Go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to look after thee. So Elijah being the prophet of God, black's black, white's white. God said it. And God said you to look after me. Simple as that. So he just passed on what God had told him. But for this poor woman, she at this stage doesn't see the bigger picture. Her issue now is availability. It's not ability. She obviously doesn't have the ability. She only has enough to take care of her son and herself. How could she possibly provide enough food to take care of herself, her son, and a man? It's been scientifically proven that men eat more than women. This is a fully grown man, you know, and she's probably wondering, you know, how am I going to take care of his appetite and take care of my little appetite and take care of the appetite of my son? And note what Elijah said in verse number 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Go ahead and prepare that last meal. But then note what he went on to say in verse 13. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Let me ask you this morning, what is God asking you to do for the sake of worldwide evangelism? Could this woman afford to look after Elijah, yes or no? No. Did God command her to support Elijah, yes or no? Yes. Now how is she going to do it? How is she going to do what God has told her to do via the man of God? And let me ask you, how are we going to do what God has called us to do in supporting missionaries if we can't afford it, humanly speaking? Well, her part was simply to obey. And very clearly there in verse number 13, Elijah said to her, fear not, go ahead and prepare that meal, but I want you to feed me first. And then take care of yourself and your son. And note verse number 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God said to this poor woman, if you will take care of me first, and then take care of yourself and your son second, if you will make it a priority to do what God has commanded you to do, then you will have not only enough for this meal, for the next, until rain comes again, you will have abundant sufficiency. So this woman was given a promise if she put the man of God first, if she cared for the man of God, if she obeyed the word of God. So this woman is placed in a little corner of where she has to exercise faith. On paper, she has a little bit of flour, she has a little bit of oil. She believes it's enough to make one last meal for her son and for her personally.
And here comes the man of God that tells her, you need to prepare that last meal, but you must feed me first. And being a woman, she probably thought to herself, he'll probably eat everything. He's a fully grown man. He's not going to leave. There won't be anything left over for myself and my son. How is this going to work? So she has no choice but to exercise faith. Faith. It is by faith you and I are saved, the Bible teaches us. For by grace are you saved through faith. And my friend, this morning, if you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you need to come to that point of repentance and placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And upon that basis, we are called upon as the people of God to walk by faith, to live by faith, to trust God to do what he said he would do if we will do our part. And God said to this widowed woman via Elijah, if you will take care of the man of God, then God will take care of you. So this woman had no choice but to step out by faith. It was a step of faith to feed the man of God first. And then to look to God to provide her needs. This involved faith. And when it comes to supporting missionaries, it involves faith. That's why we make reference to our missions program as Faith Promise Mission. By faith, she did not have enough to feed the man of God plus her son and herself. But she, by faith, did what God had told her to do. She had to make a commitment. Elijah said to her, take care of me first and your needs will be met. So she had to cleave unto a promise. Make that commitment and by faith cleave unto a promise. And she was commanded by God to look after the man of God. When we give our missions offering, it's in order to look after God's servants. God's missionaries. They're not necessarily related to us. And on the most part, they're strangers, really. Are they not? This church supports over 50 missionaries. And on the whole, let's be honest, think about it, 99% of them, they're strangers. We don't really know them. And yet we have to look after them. We have to support them? Yes, because they're servants of God. They're the Elijahs of old, in the present, going into regions beyond preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we will look after them, God will look after us. Well, she did what God had commanded her to do. And note the result in verses 15 and 16. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat how many days?
Many days.
Now, before she was preparing one last meal, was she not? So she launches out by faith, gives her faith promise missions offering. It's all that she has.
She takes care of the work of God, and the Bible teaches us that she did eat many days. So look at verse 16. How did God do this? And the barrel meal wasted not, an endless supply of flour. Neither did the crews of all fail, an endless supply of extra virgin olive oil. Glory. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So she did what God commanded, and God provided for her. Did God just provide for one day's worth of food? No. The Bible says she ate many days. And in Luke 9:38, the Bible teaches us, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you." Now, is this explainable, what takes place here, yes or no? No. Did God work a miracle, yes or no? Yes. So the key was what? Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God. In the words of Elijah, God said to Elijah, "I command a widow woman to look after thee." And she followed through by faith. By faith, she believed the Word of God. And what she had, God had provided. She gave, and God provided in turn abundantly. Could this widow afford to look after the missionary? No. No. But because God commanded her, he promised to provide the means to look after him. And beyond that, God said, "If you'll take care of the man of God, I'll take care of you." And my friend, this morning, if we will just do what God lays upon our hearts to do for missions, God will provide our needs. One meal became many meals because she gave by faith. God performed a miracle. It doesn't make sense. She prepared her last meal, and now she has meals day in, day out. That's faith promised missions giving. God said he would look after Elijah. God said he would look after the needs of the missionary. God used a poor widow to look after Elijah. God has chosen the church to look after missionaries. By faith she fed the man of God. She sacrificed what she had. And we by faith we give as God guides us, as God leads us, and God will provide our needs. That's faith promise missions giving. You do what God commands you to do. God commanded this widow to feed Elijah. It's as simple as that. Though it didn't make sense, though she didn't have enough, but she obeyed. She obeyed. She obeyed by faith, and God blessed her. The issue is not affordability, it's availability. The widow could have said no and missed the blessing and died. My friend, will you miss the blessing by saying no to what God wants you to do for missions and die spiritually? See, we're called to live by faith. In every realm of life, the just shall live by faith. No faith is involved in giving our tithe. That's a no-brainer. But beyond that, to give above and beyond, in order to feed the man of God,
that involves some faith, that involves you and I spending time with God and being tuned in to God's command as to what he would have us to do for the sake of world evangelism. This woman was honored. This woman was a great woman of faith. Didn't have much. She was a widow. But God honored her. And let me prove that point by closing with Luke chapter 4, verse 26. Luke chapter 4, verse number 26. Out of all the people that could have been mentioned by the Lord Jesus, guess who's mentioned here in Luke chapter 4, verse 26. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. The Lord Jesus mentioned her. The Lord Jesus commended her. And I trust that you and I are desiring God's commendation. We're desiring to have God say of you and I, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And by faith, beloved, we can please God. By faith, we are to live. And by faith, we are to support missionaries. And as we support missionaries by faith, we look to God to guide us, to lead us. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And in turn, we claim the promise of Philippians 4:19 that God will provide our needs. It's as simple as that. We look after the missionary, God will look after us. The widow looked after the man of God, and God looked after the widow. Not complicated. All that it involves is faith. May God help us to obey God and do what God has called us to do. And God, via Elijah, said to this widow, "Feed me first." Missions should be a priority. And if it is, God will provide our needs. For many days. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's bow for prayer. Now let's stand for a moment, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'd like our pianist to just play quietly in the background our concluding hymn. And I appreciate your attendance this morning. Just a little challenge to just do what God has called you to do. And as we prepare to review our missions program here at the church family, we just want you to do what God would have you to do. It's as simple as that. That's all that God expected of this poor widow. Obedience. And that's all that God expects of you and I. Obedience. But that obedience might involve a measure of faith.